Can you imagine graduating from college and essentially going right into a collegiate head coaching position? Yeah, neither can I. But that is exactly what our guest today did. Coach Liv Tidmore, head coach of the Oglethorpe University volleyball team and Covenant College alum, joins the show today to talk about how she is showing Christ while being one of, if not the youngest head coaches in the country. Liv graduated with me from Covenant in 2022 and was hired as the Oglethorpe head coach in 2023, something that she will let you know that she did not see coming. But as she stepped into this role, she's already learned so much about how to lead as a Christian in a secular setting, how to represent women in her coaching role, and essentially what this opportunity means for her. You are going to love this one today, so let's get into it. Welcome back to the Competing for Christ podcast. Coach Liv Tidmore, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I have to call you coach because you are obviously the head coach of the Oglethorpe. Is it Petrels?
Petrels.
Petrels.
I know. I spent my whole interview day saying Petrels, and at the very end, they were like, it's Petrels. And I was like,
oh,
well, that was tough. That was tough.
At least you got the job. At least
it worked out. It worked out.
Wow. Well, Liv, yeah, thank you so much for coming on today. We've known each other, I can't believe this, for almost 6 or 7 years now. You were one of the first people that I met at Covenant. And I mean, we obviously went through college together and in the sports management program. So this is like a full circle moment for me. So thank you so much.
For me too. When I saw you like reach out, I was like, you're kidding. We were in like the first like group together, like crazy. I remember like meeting you in like August of 2018. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the amount of life that we have lived since then. We've been gone through a pandemic. We graduated college. We both got married. We're both in the jobs now that we have. It's just crazy. I can't even put it into words.
If you told me when I was a freshman we'd be on a podcast after a pandemic, both married, all of that, I would have been like, what are you talking about? Absolutely not.
Yeah, well, yeah, it really means a lot that you came on today. I wanted to start off by just asking you, how has Christ affected how you live and how you view sports?
I mean, I think the first thought that comes to my head is how hasn't it? Mm. I think a commitment, it has meant that like a commitment to sports value has to do with so much more than the win-loss column. It's a unique like space that we get to be challenged to find out who we are, what our values are, and then learn and change them. Like, we get to be like put in the pressure cooker a little bit and find out what comes out and like kind of reveal who we are and then get the opportunity to like grow and change that. And we continue to have that space. And then I think just in life, there's just such a deep freedom in Jesus and his love of me, the people around me, like gives, it's just the fuel of our daily life. And I think the other thing is like the perspective that every person I encounter is a bearer of his image. Mm. And I have the like joyful responsibility of treating the people around me with dignity and respect. And so I think that that just has so many parallels to sport and to my life. It's beautiful how the gospel like can cover all of those spaces.
Yeah, I did not do a good job at that growing up. But when I got to Covenant and figured out like, oh, Jesus wants to be in my sport as well, that was a game changer for me. And that was just everything clicked. And it made me realize that the gospel is for everybody and it's for everything too. But for yourself, you know, you came to Covenant for volleyball and obviously things happened. Why did you stay after everything happened, you know, with your injury and stuff like that?
Oh my goodness. I remember like visiting campus as like a recruit or whatever in like October of my senior year-ish. And I remember walking by like Mac and Sanderson, like that brick or like gravelly road. And I remember just like feeling this peace that like this is where the Lord wants me. And it had the major I wanted. Finances had just kind of fallen into place. And I had just talked with Coach Joe, who was the head coach at the time. And I just felt this deep peace that like Covenant had something, the Lord had something for me at Covenant that he needed me to learn. And I felt like I had just met the person I needed to learn it from. I actually did. I looked very seriously into transferring after I finished playing. I had a final knee injury that meant I couldn't keep playing. I looked really seriously at it. I like toured a couple of our schools over Christmas break. I looked at it, and I could not escape the love of Christ. My a senior at the time, the other Olivia, Liv, I remember she like would drive me to class, like pick me up from Carter Circle on crutches, drive me down to the gym, pick me up after. None of my like teammates, like especially in my class, would let me like go to the Great Hall alone because you can't like carry a plate on crutches. They went with me to every meal. My roommate was great about that. Like, I just couldn't escape the love of God at Covenant. And then Coach Joe was like, do you want to work for me, like as a work study? And when that fell into place, I just said, yes, absolutely. Like, I have never felt so like tangibly loved by God than in like that moment where I felt like everything was over. My identity had been ruined because I was no longer an athlete. Mm-hmm. This is why I chose the school. And then the Lord just like literally used like his people to just like chase after me and tell me, no, you were right. You were supposed to be here. Lean in and see what I have to teach you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great answer. And I feel like we each have a very similar perspective because Covenant is such an amazing place. And I think not a lot of people, obviously, I didn't even know it existed before I went. And second, like I don't know if it's because we're in the mountains and we're like, you know, we have altitude poisoning or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But we just like, everyone's up there and it's just this, it's a community because it's such a small college, but everybody claims the gospel or at least claims to follow Jesus. And I think it's such an amazing place that, you know, I encourage everybody and anybody to go to if they're intrigued by it, you know.
It's a special place for sure.
What did you learn as a student coach going, you know, for the rest of your college career? What did you learn as that coach that you probably wouldn't have learned if you kept playing?
It's such a tricky question because I think I don't really know what I would have learned if I'd still been an athlete through. But I do know that one thing that really was key was that I got to watch how the coaching staff would come together, talk, come to like a consensus behind like my head coach, whoever it was, especially when it was like hard things. They took the time to have the conversation behind the closed door before they came to the team and said it. And oftentimes the first thing that had come out of their mouth that might have been kind of bitter and upset about that loss, when they went into the team, they were unified and they had like a clear message. Like they took the time to present a united front and something that was productive and in line with their values. And I never would have known that as an athlete. One, I would have thought that it was easy and that was just who they are. And like on autopilot, they had these great answers.
Yeah.
Two, I just never would have known. And so that was really cool. And getting to listen to them process and like verbally remind each other of like, this is what we stand for, this is how we respond in this moment, was so key. And I that was invaluable that they let me sit and listen to those conversations. I mean, that was incredible. And then the other thing was I got to ask questions. I did my best to build a trusting relationship with the coaching staff. They knew I wasn't gonna go and like talk to my former teammates and tell them what had been said or anything like that. Like I made a commitment to like privacy within that. And then so I, through the years, as I got older, I got to ask more questions that I never could have asked as an athlete. Like, so why her over her? What are you seeing? Why are we doing this in training? Why this now? And things like that. I got to ask so many questions and they were gracious enough to answer them. And there were times that they were like, actually, like we can't speak into that right now, but you've got to trust us. But there were other times they would sit down and say like, hey, this and this is what we see. And we've made the decision off those things. Mm. And that was invaluable. Like I got invited in to ask questions. And I think that was the most invaluable piece of it was I got let they let me come in and just ask my questions, and there was no dumb question. And I think that was the piece that I learned the most from, was that as an athlete, you kind of can't ask those questions. But as someone not an athlete, as a student coach, I got to ask those questions. So that was really invaluable for me.
Was there ever, like, do you ever feel secluded? Because I feel like you're like the middleman, you know, like you're a student, but you're also a coach, and you're trying to like keep the relationship with each of them. How would you navigate that?
Oh, goodness. With a lot of prayer and hopefully some grace.
Yeah.
That was the hardest part about being a student coach, was that they knew I could hear those things. But also, I had really great teammates that knew I was never going to say anything. They knew I was not going to like go out and betray that trust. They knew I took it really seriously. I kind of feel like the best way I could put it was like, I can feel this with you, but I maybe can't think it through with you right now because of what I know. But like, if a teammate's upset about playing time, there was no reason I couldn't go sit at the Starbucks and listen to her talk and be sad. I knew that like, I could feel things with her, and I could maybe ask some good questions about like, well, have you thought about, you know, this in perspective of the team? You know, like, have you looked at the bigger picture? But really it was all about like cultivating friendships where I could feel with them and I could be sad with them when they weren't playing, or they were frustrated, but they knew ultimately I wasn't gonna tell. And I also didn't have the decision-making power. So I kind of just got to be their friend. And then also, honestly, like I became friends with my teammates as like friends, if that makes sense. It wasn't about volleyball that we became close. Right. I still text Savannah a ton, and we became friends because just like we clicked and we get along and we laugh about dumb things and things like that. So it was more than volleyball too. And so trying to push into the relationship with Christ, their other interests besides volleyball players, I kind of got to be the bridge that knew them as people. And if coach was like, why is she acting like that? I could be like, she had a really hard day. I can't tell you the details, but she had a really awful day, and just like some grace and compassion. So trying to help, the bridge is really true, but trying to help people have compassion on people, helping the coaches know that she stayed up till 5 a.m. studying for a bio exam. Of course she looks like a zombie. And then them like, hey, look at the perspective of the team. Like coach's job is to make the team better, not to like let you play as much as you want.
Yeah, I'm sure that was so impactful for both you and, you know, your coaches and the players that you were coaching. And I, of course, that had to have helped with your transition into becoming a head coach right out of college. How has that transition been thus far?
That's been wild.
I'm sure.
So let's see. I graduated in 22, and then May of 22, and then got hired as the head coach at Oglethorpe in June of 23. So had like a year buffer. During that time, I think a couple things. One, I had already been like on staff, and I stayed on staff with Covenant after I graduated for that season. And I got to see a new head coach come in and got to see what she did as she kind of entered a new program. Got to kind of form my own opinions on, you know, what I felt like I would do the same, what I would do differently, all of those kind of, again, got to ask questions, got to work through that. And then the other thing I attribute it to is that I worked for Channing Football Club for that year. I was an intern for them, and then was working in corporate partnerships and was kind of climbing the ladder there, and just had this deep, like, no, like, I love coaching. And, but those professional skills and being in a work environment and understanding some professionalism, I guess, like, made me grow up a little bit. And I think that that was invaluable to my transition, that, like, I had gotten used to that 9-to-5 feeling like an adult. I had gotten married, and then was also coaching clubs, so keeping my coaching skills sharp. But I really attribute a lot of that transition to working in pro sports for a year, and having to grow up and be a professional, and seeing the difference that could make in my career and as a person, like how important it was to respond to the call of growing up. If you're given responsibility, you have to it's a joyful responsibility to have to grow up and to be more disciplined and to learn those skill sets. So I attribute a lot of my transition to working in a pro scenario, honestly.
How did you hear about the Oglethorpe position? Because that, how did you hear God's calling? Like, you need to apply for this. You need to go for this.
I was coaching club at the time, and the coach who I had coached under my first year of club, we had the 16 teams. We qualified for nationals. Her name's Nancy. She's great. She's the head coach at Suwannee. Through her, I had met Danielle, who was the former head coach at Oglethorpe. And I was just kind of throwing my name out there, whatever. I had gotten coffee with Nancy, as I typically did. And she mentioned that Danielle was potentially looking to have a conversation with somebody about an assistant position. And so I got on the phone with Danielle and was talking through that. Little did I know, Danielle was basically vetting me to have someone to recommend for the job after she stepped down. So that was kind of how that happened. And so kind of just like met her, talked to her. And then so when Danielle reached back out to me and was like, hey, I'm stepping down. They're posting the job in a week. You need to apply. I called Coach Joe and said, how do I tell her no?
Wow.
I called her and said, how do I tell her that I'm not ready for this? How do I tell her that that's crazy?
Yeah.
Like, how do I tell her that I wanted to be an assistant? I didn't want to be a head. Like, that wasn't on my radar. And so Joe kind of walked me through that. And then the Lord just kind of kept on it and other things happened. And eventually I called Joe and was like, all right, how do I put my name in the hat? How do I do this? Like, and went through the process and it was wild. I remember before my interview, I was just like praying and was like, Lord, just give me the strength to be myself and to come in. And I think it's easy through an interview process to be an imposter and to not be authentic. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm 23. I'm not going to hide that I basically haven't even like coached full time before. Like, I'm not going to hide the gaps in my resume. I'm going to let them see them. And if they still want to take a chance on me, then I'm going to walk through the door. Like, I'm going to be authentic to who I am and own the gifts that God has given me and own the weaknesses that I have and be really as authentic as possible through the interview process. And I was. And, you know, they would ask questions like, you know, how is it going to be being young? I was like, honestly, I'm not sure. But here's what I've done in the past to manage relationships healthily. And so they took a chance on me and I had some great people in my corner that called them and gave me great references. And, but yeah, that's pretty much how that came to be. I still look back on that and go, that was a weird hiring journey. And I'm not sure that I have good advice for anyone on their hiring journey, but you know, except to be authentic, it worked. So
that's we'll true. See. That's yeah. true. And you see now, like on the other side of it, how God has used your entire journey to get you to that point. If you didn't get injured, you wouldn't have been a student coach. And then you yeah. wouldn't be able to relate to the players that you are relating to now as, you know, at very similar age types. That's so, it's so crazy to yeah. see that. And, you know, going to what you said about being authentic in an interview process, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but the reason, I mean, I didn't, this is not the reason that I got the job, but I had applied for, I mean, you know, coming out of college, you apply oh, yeah. for so many jobs. I had gotten interviews and stuff like that. But the one I got an interview for the job I have now. And I don't know why I did this, but the first interview, it was with the CEO, the COO, the CTO. And the first thing I said was, you know what? I'm a Christian. That's the first thing I said. I didn't say anything else to start it off. That was the first time I'd ever done that. Little did I know that was going to be the job that I got. Like, I was like,
yeah,
you know, this is obviously not the reason that I got the job, but at the same time, God was like, I could tell God was like, you acknowledge me finally. Like, you finally did it after this entire process. But you know, seeing that now on the other side, I was like, wow, okay, well, that's, thanks God. Thank you for giving me that job. You know, it's so crazy. And you see how
people
God does that.
People want authentic people. Yes. And I think that that's because, like, God created in us the desire for him. And he is never, like, he's so unchanging. And he is sure in his character. God is never changing. And we all have that deep desire for someone that's consistent and genuine and authentic. And I think that that's one of the gifts we can give as Christians that kind of gets overlooked, of like being genuine to who we are and owning our weaknesses, but also owning our strengths and being ourselves, because the Lord created us who we're supposed to be, and not being afraid to like claim him, right? That was really scary. I respect you so much for that. I got to campus and was terrified. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm at like not a Christian school. Yeah. And that was when it hit me that like all of my coaching experience essentially had been in a place that literally has like Christ preeminence plastered all over it. And I got to talk about Jesus whenever I wanted. And it was part of my job description to talk about Jesus. And now it's like win games. And I was like, oh Lord, this is different. And so, yeah, I definitely think I respect that on your end. I was not that bold.
I was not bold for 99% of the things that I did. And then that 1% just so happened. But how, you know, going to your job now, what are you learning about bringing those Christian values into an atmosphere that says either you win or you're out, pretty much?
When I saw this question, I was like, oh my goodness, this is a loaded question in such a good way. I think the biggest thing to me is that, one, it's really hard to do if you're not connected to other Christians with deep intention and have strong relationships. I don't mean you need 100 people. I mean, you need a few people that are holding you fast to Jesus and are clinging to him as you're clinging to him, because every day brings a different challenge. And there's no way that like one mission statement can answer all of those problems. And so making sure that you're tied into like a deep community of people that help hold you fast to Jesus. The other thing is that I truly believe that the values of the Christian faith benefit humanity. Period. I think that that's how God created us to be. God wanted us to be disciplined. God wanted us to walk with intention and joy and obedience. Like, God wanted those things for us. And I had to flip it of like, this is a kindness to them to bring these values in, because the Lord has been gracious enough to me to show me that, no, this is my way. This is how I intended mankind and womankind to walk. If that is it, then, and I say I believe that, I would be a fool to not try to bring those things into my program. I would be a fool not to try to create a healthy, balanced space that brings forth and holds those values in high regard. I'd be silly not to. And the other thing I would say is that when I've learned that as I try to bring values into a space, there have to be some times that I say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. Give me 24 hours. Like, we live kind of by the 24-hour rule in my program, including for the athletes. If I ask them something, they can have 24 hours to think about their answer. That's fine. Like, in scenarios where it's appropriate, obviously. But trying to have discourse, and like, if somebody brings something to me and is like, hey, maybe this team rule is broken, maybe this, maybe that, say, give me 24 hours. I'm going to go home. I'm going to connect with like God's people and really pray about like, okay, what step do I need to take here? You can't do it in every scenario, but in any one you can. I think that giving yourself some time, especially for me, since I am so young and every problem is a new problem, I don't have like years of experience to grab from, I suppose, in the sense of like someone who's maybe tenured and has been at it for 30 years. Being able to kind of take some time and think has been the best way to make sure that I'm consistent to the values that I've brought forth, if that makes sense.
How have your athletes responded to that?
I think they've responded really well. I have a mix of Christians and non-Christians on my roster, which has been really special. There's an FCA at Oglethorpe, and their leadership is really kind and has been really welcoming to me in the process of getting here and getting settled. But yeah, they've responded really well. I keep saying that, like, they're a hungry group that wants to be better, and they're committed to getting better on and off the court, because that was one of the messages I brought hard in my interview process when I got to speak to them, was like, I care about who you are when you graduate too. I don't just care about if you're an all-conference performer, because there's 18 of you. Not all of you are going to be on the all-conference roster. That's just not going to happen. Right. And so, you know, if I'm just chasing a couple all-conference kids, I'm not, why am I here? Like, I'm here to help you, guide you to be better people. And they also came from a position where the senior class and junior class, I was their third head coach. So they had had a really, really good people along the way, but instability just because there had been a lot of change. And so being able to bring in some stability of values of, this is what we care about. If you're a part of OUVB, this is what you stand for, has, I think, given a lot of comfort because it's structure and stability that they missed.
Yeah, I'm sure that's so helpful, like you said, on and off the court. And for you were kind of thrust into this leadership role. Why is it so important for women to have those leadership roles, especially in sports like yourself?
First, I was thinking about this. I've thought about this a lot, actually, because I think back to some of the first coaches that, like, really pushed me into a leadership role at all were my high school soccer coaches, and they were both men. Matt Popinski, I love him to death, and he made me a captain, and he, like, basically was like, taught me how to be tough. That's kind of my joke. That was the year I got my first ACL. He literally carried me off the field when I had my first ACL. But he taught me how to be tough. And I think that that was something he really embodied as a husband, as a father, like, and he knew how to teach me to be tough, right? I think a lot about the female coaches in my life and how they taught me how to mentor other women, right? And the giftedness that we bring. We need both. We need strong men in sports, and we need strong women in sports, because otherwise you're just not getting the full picture. I think that it was really impactful to me. I think back to my first one-on-one with Coach Joe, and she was like, why are you studying sport management? What do you want to do with it? And I can be a little blunt. So I looked her right in the eye and I said, because I want your job.
Oh, like, okay.
Because I want to be. And then I was like mortified and was like, I don't mean like I want to take your exact job. Like, I want to do what you do. But like, she still remembers. I'm sure she remembers that to this day, yes. Of me looking her dead in the eye and being like, because I want your job. But then, like, to see someone doing what I wanted to do was so impactful. And then for her to mentor me through college, and then for Liv Becker Killaway to mentor me through college, and just to have women that get it is so important. And it takes a village for the iron to sharpen iron, right? And I think that without women in the picture, you are just missing out, especially for young female athletes. I think that I hope that my athletes feel like I can relate to them. And when I hear their struggle, I don't just hear it. I have felt it. I've been there. And I get to speak from some experience, not just from, you know, hypothetical, I guess. So
yeah.
That's one of the biggest things is, I mean, if we're just looking at it as a win-loss column, I mean, it doesn't really matter as long as you win, right? But if we're looking at this as mentorship and we're looking at this as development of people and the next generation, you can't leave women out of women's sports or sports in general, because you're missing that piece. That's so key. If you just need to win, fine, hire whatever gender, it doesn't matter as long as they win, right? But from my perspective of sport, you can't leave women out of sport, because then you lose so much of it.
Mm. Wow, that's such a good answer. And I think, like you said, you can relate so much to these athletes, not only because you're a woman, you've been there, and you're, I mean, a little bit older than them. So you know what they're going through, and you literally were just going through it. So I think that's so, it's so awesome that you're in that position now. But have you ever thought about like why God put you in this position already in your career?
Yeah. This has been something like I have really like been chewing on, and just midway through season, last season, we were winning a lot, and then we got bit by the injury bug, and suddenly we were not winning. We were getting killed. And, you know, I was like, I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't ready. Had, you know, some panic, and then just like really having to be honest that like it's not about my record as a coach. And I hope that one day anybody that comes in and encounters Oglethorpe Volleyball has forgotten me, right? Like I want like Christ to be known. And I hope that the women that leave the program don't just think about me. They think about like who they became when they were at Oglethorpe. And hopefully as they drew near to someone who's emulating Christ, I hope that they felt the warmth of his love and drawn to it. And I hope that people come to know him through it. And, but I think it's all about the impact I have on the people in my program. Obviously, every good coach needs to work to win, and I certainly do that. But there is a sense of which I have to be grounded to the fact that God didn't call me here for no reason. And I think the relatability is awesome. And also, one thing that I found that was crazy to me was that since I came with like covenant on my resume, they automatically knew I was a Christian. They said, oh, Christian, like they knew. And so that has meant that when we talk about certain things, I'm able to be like, hey, this is my perspective. Like, and you know that about me. Like they can walk in my office and they know that I believe in Jesus. And I hope that they don't just think that like I'm a really cool like girl boss, whatever. I hope they don't look at me and think I'm cool, because they would be wrong. but I hope that they look at me and say like, man, like being grounded to Jesus makes her better at everything I do, and is the reason I get out of bed in the morning, is that I love them because Jesus loves me and Jesus loves them. And so I hope that that is what I'm building here. And I have to remind myself a lot. I have like my like why statement on my wall in my office with like some bullet points of things. And I make myself read it out loud every morning when I get into work, because midway through season, I had lost that. I was like, I'm losing. I'm going to get fired. Why did I do this? And then I just really, at that point, the Lord was like, no, you are called to minister. You are called to love. The rest will come, you know?
Yeah. That was such a unique perspective. When you have covenant on your resume, that's just a stamp of approval from God. Like everybody's going to know that you're a Christian because you have that on your resume.
Oh yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I think that, I mean, going back to everything that you said about having those Christian morals and inserting them into, you know, your sports or your business, that's so important for everything that you go through. But Liv, thank you for coming on today. This was so great catching up. And like, I mean, you're going to do some amazing things as a coach and at Oglethorpe, and I'm just so thankful that you got to come on and just share a little bit about that wisdom and patience that you have.
Thank you for having me. I've loved following your podcast. Remember the first episode? Such a boomer for that, but I love that you're creating space for like conversations like this, because when I was at Covenant, I didn't realize that was super unique, that there were always conversations like this, and creating this platform for those kind of conversations to happen off the mountain is so special. And I appreciate the work you're doing. And thank you. You're kind. We'll try to get them this year, you know?
For all you listening out there, please make sure to subscribe to the show and share this episode with an athlete that you know. It always means so much to me every time anybody does that. But if you do not get anything else from this, just remember this: Jesus loves you, and he's going to fight for you no matter what. Talk to y'all next time.